This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on November 9, 2006. Should you have questions after listening to this recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
We're a little bleary-eyed this morning after Tuesday night, but it's great to know that 2 days after the midterm election, the presidential election has begun, and that's our item of business this morning, Advisory Opinion 2006-30, submitted by ActBlue. This is a holdover item from our last meeting concerning certain activities that the requester wishes to undertake on behalf of potential 2008 presidential candidates. We had an agenda document the council's office had prepared, agenda document 0671. We also have a document that Commissioner Von Spakovsky, in consultation with his colleagues and the council's office, also prepared, which is agenda document number 0674. Commissioner, some opening thoughts on your draft.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do think it says something about what kind of a campaign we're going to have for 2008 that the first advisory opinion the commission is dealing with after the midterm election is already for the 2008 election. Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to take up a lot of time. First of all, I want to thank the council's office for, frankly, working with me on the alternative draft and making suggestions for some changes in the language to make it better. Basically, this alternative follows the lead of We Lead, which is a prior AO issued by this commission before I came on board. I see the situations as very similar. This will basically allow ActBlue to solicit funds for prospective candidates. However, the 10-day forwarding period will not start until that person actually registers with us and declares their intention to be a candidate. A very important consideration in this is the fact that ActBlue is a registered political committee. So all of these funds will be disclosed. They're going to have to report what they've received, the identity of the person for whom it's supposed to go, and the ultimate disbursement of this. It also follows the We Lead AO by providing, similar to We Lead, that if the individual does not become a candidate, then contributions will be forwarded, in this particular case, to the DNC. This is what happened in the We Lead situation, and the same thing is going to happen here. So I think we're following what we've done before, and we're also taking into account new and innovative ways to raise funds, but still within our reporting requirements and within our contribution limits. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner. Discussion of the issues before us. Commissioner Mason.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was sort of hoping to be persuaded by some of the comments that came in the interim, unfortunately found myself not only not persuaded, but frankly pushed in the direction of the staff draft by a couple of the comments, and I want to address those because I think both ActBlue and the Center for Competitive Politics raise serious issues that deserve to be addressed. And starting with ActBlue, I know Commissioner Von Spakovsky is not relying on the testing the waters provision for his draft, but ActBlue does rely significantly on that in their comments. And the problem I have with that is that they're asking to do something under the shadow of the testing the waters exemption, as it were, that is explicitly prohibited by the testing the waters exemption. That is one of the conditions on the testing the waters exemption is that the candidate may not raise funds that amass campaign funds that would be spent after he or she becomes a candidate. And here, by definition, what ActBlue wants to do is amass campaign funds that would be transmitted to the candidate only after they become a candidate and therefore to be spent for that purpose. And so while I don't think there's anything nefarious about that, I don't think there's a way that you can rely on the testing the waters exemption to support the permissibility of that activity, because it's just frankly, an explicit way around the testing the waters exemption and that no amassing provision. Obviously, the difference is who's got the money, ActBlue or the candidate, and that's not insignificant. But again, I just don't think you can rely on testing the waters as a license to do this. And in terms of Center for Competitive Politics, Mr. Sherman sort of summed up by saying that we've got unreceived non-contributions being forwarded to non-candidates. And I have to say that one out of three isn't that great, which is to say that there's no dispute about the fact that these are contributions under the Act for, you know, to a registered PAC for a particular candidate, and they're going to go to one sort of recipient or the other. So they are contributions, and they obviously have been received at least by ActBlue. And in terms of the forwarding reg, assuming that applies, that goes to the 10 days after the contributions are received. Obviously, what's not clear here is the candidate status of the ultimate intended recipient. But again, I see certain elements of this as actually being pretty clear, and not allowing a lot of leeway in how we treat this. Mr. Sherman also raises the point that we're going to be trying to deal with some difficult questions, particularly concerning candidacy status. And I think the fact is, no matter how we do this, we're dealing with some questions of first impression that the statute and regs weren't intended to set up. So, you know, either way, the one that I mentioned before that comes home to me, if we allow this activity, is our disavowal provision, which is pretty straightforward. After written notification by the commission that any other person has received contributions aggregating in excess of $5,000 on the individual's behalf, and the individual fails to disavow such activity. And so that's, I think, one of the first things we'll come up against if this activity goes forward, is that some other person, in this case ActBlue, will have received contributions, assume in some cases over $5,000, on the individual's behalf. This is not tied to candidacy, but rather the trigger for candidacy. And we're going to have to send disavowal letters. And I mentioned what sort of position that's going to put the potential candidates in. I assume that they will all in good faith be able to say, well, no, I didn't have anything to do with this. But, you know, I think that that contributes to a situation which frankly is yeah, we sometimes have some trouble around here because we have a complex set of regulations, a complex statute that candidates and parties justifiably are trying to work to their advantage. And people look at it and they see the results and they say, this is a joke. And for me, this is one of those situations where I'm afraid that people would look at it and they'd say, well, we've got this group out here raising money for candidates. The candidates know they're going to get the money sooner or later. And yet they're sending in letters saying we don't have anything to do with it. It is not a legal argument, I acknowledge, but it is an argument that in an area where I think the legal questions are unsettled pushes me in a policy direction of saying that we shouldn't do this. Lastly, I don't think that by denying this outlet we would be seriously disadvantaging any interests that need to be protected or ability of candidates to raise money. Howard Dean was able to raise a lot of money on the Internet in a short period of time. The last election cycle, John McCain actually, in the prior election cycle, had a significant amount of success that way, as did Ronald Reagan with direct mail many years ago. And so while I'm sure this would be helpful to candidates, and I'm sure small donors would be interested in it, in fact, I think there are other avenues that are open, and I don't think by denying this particular mechanism we would be stopping the sort of people who might work through ActBlue or even ActBlue itself from very quickly raising significant amounts of money. It would simply be a timing question, and given the dates on which people tend to declare candidacies nowadays, I don't think we're going to have any trouble with enough lead-up time for somebody to raise money for Iowa or New Hampshire.
Do we have a candidacy announcement today? It could quite possibly be the case.
That's what I heard. I heard on the radio this morning that Tom Vilsack is filing papers today with the FEC.
Well, Duncan Hunter announced last week. So.
Oh, I missed that one.
I mean, he may not file papers, but he's, you know.
Well, it's good that we only waited until 2 days after the midterm election to begin our work on the 2008 presidential election. Thank you, Commissioner Mace. Additional discussion on the issues? Commissioner Bosmakowski.
I don't want to draw this out, but I do want to just address a couple of things that Commissioner Mason said. I don't think the disavowal regulation is a problem here. I don't think it imposes an affirmative duty on us to send a letter. If it did, then we violated it in the We Lead AO. Because in the We Lead AO, we basically told the respondent, the requester, that they would, the 10-day tolling, the 10-day forwarding period would not start until the delegates have been certified by the DNC for the nominee. We did not tell them that we would send a letter under the disavowal regulation as soon as they had raised 5,000. If so, if we were going to follow this and had an affirmative duty to do so, then we should have done it months before that actual certification, because it was months before that actual certification occurred that we became aware, as the rest of the country did, who the nominee was going to be. You know, that was not a surprise and was not unknown until the day that the official certification occurred. Second, the problem with the current draft that OGC has is it basically requires what I think is an impossibility. You know, it says that as soon as they get the money, Act Blue, they would have to forward it to the prospective candidate. But our other regulations say that every person who receives a contribution for an authorized political committee has to send that contribution to their treasurer within 10 days. Well, these prospective candidates have no committee. They have no treasurer. So literally, it would be impossible for them to comply with the regulation if we adopt the version the OGC does. I'm happy to have more discussion, Mr. Chairman, but otherwise I would be pleased to make a motion that we adopt Agenda Document 06-74, which is the alternative draft proposed for a response to Act Blue.
Commissioner Bosakowski's moved approval of Agenda Document Number 06-74 concerning the Act Blue advisory opinion. Discussion of Commissioner Bosakowski's motion. Vice Chairman Lenhart.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, as I think I indicated at the last meeting, which we considered this, I mean, I considered this to be a close question and one which we'd spent some time in it, and I've spent some additional time then sort of really trying to wrestle with, because I don't think the rules are entirely clear in this area, and I want to express appreciation to the requesters for granting us additional time to wrestle with this, and for the additional comments, for those who took the time and energy to provide us with additional comments. And for me, the thing that sort of changed my thinking on this really actually grew out of the staff draft, and the language appears also in Commissioner von Spakovsky's draft as well, and from the earlier advisory opinions in this area. And the part of the staff draft and the Commissioner's von Spakovsky's draft that really struck me was the statement that that commission regulations already recognize that individuals may receive contributions before they become candidates, and most specifically, I guess the easiest example of this is in the context of people raising money for their election prior to triggering the $5,000 limit. And those funds, that by operation of our regulations, as I understand it, are treated as contributions, and that the contributions are deemed to be received only after one actually becomes a candidate, and so this notion is sort of present in our regulations and has sort of played out a number of different times in our advisory opinions. And so I went back and I reread those three opinions. And my sense from that is that to the degree that one can sort of draw a rule out of those opinions, that they were really turning on whether there was sufficient certainty as to the identity of the candidate for these funds to be treated as contributions. And there were three factors that were identified in We Lead as unifying, or as being present in all three of those cases, and those relating to whether there was a specific, an identifiable specific office, whether there was a party affiliation, an election cycle that allowed you to be sufficiently certain as to who the contributions were being raised for, and certainly in the Act Blue AO, all of those factors are present in addition to the additional factor of there being actual individuals named. And so I guess, you know, at the end of all of that, my sense was that the alternative draft did more closely resemble our earlier advisory opinions in this area. In reaching that conclusion, I was mindful of some of the policy implications of all of this, and it certainly, I think, is important that all of the money that's being discussed here is hard money raised under the limits and with the source prohibitions of both FECA and BCRA, that these funds are all disclosed at the time they're raised, and that in fact that the as the chairman mentioned the last time we were here, that this is a means or vehicle that is more likely to be used by small donors in grassroots fundraising than by very large donors. And as we have seen the increase in the contribution limits in BCRA, I think that there has been some concern, at least in my mind, that that large donors would, muscle out small donors in importance, and that the area of fundraising over the internet has been the one real significant, and not the only. I mean, there has been some increased, phone and mail grassroots fundraising done as well by the parties, but that the internet has really been the most striking counterbalance to all of that. So while I think that there are good arguments on both sides of this, at the end of the day, I come down in support of Commissioner von Spakovsky's draft today.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. Just a few comments from my behalf. I share your comments and your thoughts. I think for me, the most decisive thing in looking at this is the fact that I think both approaches are plausible reading of the regulations. I think that's an important point. And we often get into gray areas of this agency in dealing with the statute and the regulations on these tough issues. For me, as the Vice Chairman noted, what was most important here is that all the activity would be timely disclosed by this PAC, so we would not have a situation where funds were being raised for candidates. The public would not know that that was happening. And then a person became a candidate, and suddenly money would be going to that candidate without the public knowing that funds were being raised. I think that's a vital part of the 10-day rule. I agree with Commissioner Mason. It's not the only rationale for the 10-day forwarding rule, but I do think it's a vital part of it, and that would not in any way be undermined here. And I think equally important, as the Vice Chairman noted, is that this is a hard-dollar activity, which, after all, at some level, Congress sought to elevate in importance in the McCain-Feingold law. And I think it would recognize an important innovation in the fundraising field. And clearly there's a lot of new thinking going on both sides of the aisle in terms of how to best raise money for federal candidates in light of the BCRA, just as I think there was new thinking going on with the We Lead organization back in 2003. And so I think if we can read our regulations and statute in a way not to impose barriers on innovative fundraising activities like this, that is all hard money in nature and duly disclosed, I think that's a very important public interest that's served. Also, I think it's important, and I think it's fair to say, that there were no abuses detected by anybody in terms of the activity that We Lead undertook in connection with the 2004 presidential election. I think that's a very important point. And we don't know how these types of innovations are going to go. I'd be the first to concede. And I don't know if Commissioner von Spakovsky's draft is adopted, how things will go with Act Blue. But I'm confident that, that we have a good framework and that it worked effectively in the past. That this draft, if we adopt it, is built upon the architecture of We Lead and would allow a broader ability of people to give money for candidates that they are excited about, people who could become candidates that they are excited about, without in any way undermining the hard dollar contribution limits and source prohibitions and the disclosure regime. So I think that the draft that Commissioner von Sikorski has put together is a very good one. I do concede that both approaches that we have before us today are plausible reading of the regulations. I do support strongly the Commissioner's approach, because I think it would allow and foster greater innovation in this area. So additional discussion. Commissioner Weintraub and then Commissioner Walther. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also think it's a very close call, and I've gone back and forth on this over the last couple of weeks. Ultimately, I come down with Commissioner Mason on the side of the staff draft, and if the staff draft is offered, I'll support that. I think part of it goes to, I don't know if I want to go so far as to say, use the word joke, but, you know, part of it is this sense of, you know, what's really going on here. And when we have people raising money for Hillary Clinton for president in 08, or Tom Vilsack for president in 08, or, you know, name your favorite candidate, anybody. This one happens to be Act Blue, but there could be an Act Red, John McCain for president in 08. In order to get around our regulations on forwarding within 10 days, we have to come to the conclusion that that's not a clearly identified candidate for the office. And, you know, I think that's – I understand that they haven't formally – the exception possibly of Mr. Vilsack later today – they haven't formally declared themselves as candidates. But I think, you know, most people looking at that would say, I don't know, they kind of look like candidates. What part of that don't you understand? Where's the not clearly identified part of that that – description, the fact that and indeed a lot of these candidates, not Mr. Vilsack, and maybe that's why he's declaring early, a lot of these candidates have federal campaign committees for other offices because they're sitting in other offices right now, and anybody who wants to support Hillary Clinton or Evan Bayh or, you know, any of the other federal office holders who are being talked about as potential candidates can donate to their campaigns. And if those individuals decide to run for president, they would presumably close down their Senate campaigns and transfer all the money over, and that would be perfectly legal to do so. So, in fact, if one wanted to support Hillary Clinton, Evan Bayh, I don't know, Harry Reid, whoever, Nancy Pelosi, for president, they have campaign committees, federal campaign committees right now, even though they're not set up to support a presidential campaign. To some degree, we're talking about the distinction between, I mean, who gets to decide when a campaign starts? Does the candidate get to decide that, or do the donors get to decide that? Do the donors have some independent right to set up a campaign committee for somebody who has not on his or her own decided that they want to run for the office? I think, actually, it's not a bad thing to leave that the control of that decision with the candidate rather than with the donors, because ultimately, no matter how hard you may want Nancy Pelosi to run for president, maybe she doesn't want to run for president. Maybe she likes, you know, the idea of being Speaker of the House and is satisfied with that. And, you know, it doesn't matter who you're talking about. The individual candidates' names, you can substitute out whoever you want. I am somewhat concerned that the more opportunities we provide for people to raise funds and sit on the money, the more down the road fraud complaints we're going to receive. You know, we started to see more fraud in fundraising on the Internet in the last cycle, and I think we're going to see more of that. And I say that without any intent at all to impugn Act Blue. I checked out their website. They seem to be an active and going concern. They're raising a lot of money in ways that are not at all going to be affected by this opinion, no matter what we do, and, you know, seem to be a perfectly reputable operation, and more power to them. But I'm worried about what's going to happen down the road with copycat organizations. We've talked before about how either way you look at this, we're pounding square pegs into round holes. Under either analysis, the regs don't quite match up with what they want to do. Testing the waters, again, somebody else can't test the waters for a candidate. Only the candidate can test the waters for the candidate. The idea behind testing the waters is that the prospective candidate would put together some money to do some polling, to actually conduct some activities that might help him or her determine whether to run for office. This money's not going to be used for that. It's going to just be sitting in a bank account waiting for the candidate to make up his or her mind. So the testing the waters doesn't really get me there. And as I said, I think that the regulations don't exactly match up under either proposed alternative. Where I come down, although I agree it's a close call, and I agree with the chairman that the most important part about this would be that if we go forward under Commissioner von Spakovsky's draft, is that it would be all hard dollars and it would be fully disclosed, and those are very important factors. But for me, I think that to the extent we can apply our regulations to this situation, the interpretation that is more consistent with our regulations is the original staff draft.
Thank you, Commissioner Weintraub. Commissioner Walther, you had sought recognition.
Thank you. Yes, I can support the draft of Commissioner von Spakovsky, and as I said at the last meeting, I think it's a nice, innovative way, and I take the comments that the chairman made at the last meeting in connection with the policy that we should be generally in favor of, and that's to just encourage as much hard-dollar contributions from as many people as possible, and this is a way to help do that. I think the concern I have, bear in mind I am going to support this, but is that there's a lot of little wrinkles that I can see occurring that could better be dealt with if we adopted a regulation at some point along the line. There could be, like Commissioner Weintraub said, a number of different act colors, blue, purple, black, and have different candidates and maybe different secondary approaches, who, if not candidate A, then candidate B, or there may be other iterations that we're asked to confront, and I'm not too sure when we would start saying no to those. Also, I think there's times when if there's a significant mass of money and interest is generated, there's no mention of it in this case, nor in We Lead, then whose money is the interest at that point? Or does it have to be non-interest-bearing, and should it be? Those are left unanswered. Or what if there's a list of contributors and the campaign potential candidate says, well, there's no way I would accept a contribution from this individual, and notifies Act Blue that, by the way, I'll never accept that, and I don't want it on the Internet that this person, that I would want this person to support my candidacy. What happens then? Do they have to stand silent or say, tell Act Blue that? And if so, then they do impliedly consent to the others and then fall under Reg 100.3. So there's a lot of iterations like that that I think we should consider in regulation as we go forward. But at this point, I think it's tight enough to go forward with, and commend Act Blue for their creativity here.
Thank you, Commissioner Wall. Further discussion on Commissioner von Spakovsky's motion? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries by a vote of 4-2. Commissioners von Spakovsky, Toner, Lenhart, and Walther voting affirmatively. Commissioners Weintraub and Mation voting no. Thank you.